an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Hello, welcome back to NITV Radio. Well, I've got a couple of very special guests with me here today. NITV has an amazing team of young journalists and particularly correspondents based around the country. And it just so happens that it's an all-star female team, and I have two of them here today. Please welcome our Queensland correspondent, Ella Archibald Bringe, and our WA Coro, my sister from another mister over there, Rangi Harini, to NITV Radio. Welcome, ladies.
What a welcome. Thanks, Danny.
Two of our hardest workers in the team, along with the other girls as well. The boys don't do much work.
Your words.
Yeah, don't worry. Now I'm telling the truth anyway. But tell us about your work and what you do. Ella, let's start with you. You're based up there in Queensland. You've been pounding the pavement up there for a couple of years, a beautiful big state of ours. Mm-hmm. Tell us what a video journalist does or what it is.
Oh boy, we do a bit of everything, I think. Being a video journalist, I film my own stuff. So I guess it just means I've got my little camera kit pretty much in the boot of the car all the time, just ready to go if something happens. You might be on a plane up to Cairns. You might be just down the road, up the road to Cherbourg, out to the coast.
I love hearing you say just down the road.
Down the road, you know, a couple of hours. Well, to Sydney people, it's kind of like just duck down the road and grab this for us. And so I don't know. It's unpredictable. Do a lot of travelling. Queensland's a big state, not quite as big as yours up in WA. But I don't know. Any given day, it just depends what it's going to throw at you. You could be doing stuff for online, for your TV news, could be doing like a half-hour doco. So keeps you guessing. It's never boring.
That's why I sort of really want to sort of push out there that being a video journalist is much much more responsibility and levels to – it's basically a filmmaker and a journalist in one is how I sort of explain it to sort of people out there. Rangi, what's it like for you being a journalist in such a huge state of WA?
Well, I'm a proud Indooroopah Nubali woman from the Pilbara, and I'm based in Perth, so it's about a 18-hour drive from Port Hedland, where I grew up. And it's my first year with the team being a correspondent, and it's just it is a big state. It's a lot of people tend to forget that I am the West Australian correspondent, not the Perth correspondent.
Yeah.
But having lived in Port Hedland, having spent some time in Broome and Karratha as well, I know regional WA quite well. I think it's more of the Great Southern area, but it has been a pretty big year, and people do forget. They are quite shocked when I tell them I pretty much work solo in WA. And right now with daylight savings, it's a 3-hour time difference, so it is working a day ahead or working a day behind. But a lot of people do give me that bit of sympathy when they realise how big of a job it is to run a whole state.
So, for example, when the chief of staff sends his 7:30 email or phone calls, he's ringing you at 4:30 or emailing you at 4:30.
Well, surprisingly, lately it's been more media people in the eastern state. So, like, you know, the media team for Polly's are calling me. I had a call at 6:30 the other morning, but they're lucky I get up early. I've become a morning person because I just have to at the moment. Yeah.
So, Ella, what does a day involve for you as a video journalist? For example, you get called in the morning to go out and do a story. What does a day look like for a video journalist?
Yeah, like it's hard to say because any given day is so different and you can never predict it. But it's a breaking news story, I guess. It's a matter of, grabbing the camera, making sure you've made your calls, set up your interviews or get along to the media conference if that's what's happening. Film it. So I suppose it's really tricky when you think about it. And you, as Rangi says, you do get a bit of sympathy from the other journos because you might be in a big press pack. They've all got their big camera operators carrying all their gear for them and their girls are kind of dressed all nice in their heels. And, I'm running around in my shorts and T-shirt and joggers, like trying to, carry all the gear. So sort of trying to film it and then just jump beside the camera and throw a few questions out. And then I guess it's a mad dash back home. I actually work from home most of the time these days. So back to my kitchen table, get the vision down to Sydney, get something up for online and hopefully do it all in time to meet your deadlines.
Yeah. Yeah. Geez, I remember those days well. those deadlines. What do you both love about telling our stories and sort of rather than say journalism, I call it storytelling and what we do, and it is a type of journalism. But what do you both love about telling our stories and being black journos, you know, in your chosen field?
I believe, like, it's something I was told by Colleen Haywood over in Perth when I interviewed her. She's a proud Noongar woman, very well established. She told me you can't be what you don't see. And growing up in regional WA, there is a bit more racism out there. Definitely in the city, there's way more because you can escape Aboriginal people and, you know, people of different ethnicities compared to a small town where you can't really because it's a big drive. So my thing, why I work for NITV and one of the reasons behind the stories I do is because I want to show young kids that you can be anything besides the stereotype that is cast upon us as First Nations people. From the day we're conceived, it's not even when you're born. When you're conceived, there's a stereotype of who you're going to be and what you're going to become. Mm-hmm. And what we show at NITV is we're not that stereotype. You can be a doctor, a scientist, you can be a footy player, you can be anything you want to be. You're not as far as your skin is. And that's why I love doing what I do, and that's why I like to show all these different stories from different areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And I think, I grew up in country Queensland, so plenty of racism out there as well. Yeah, okay. Love Stanthorpe. But, there's some of that small-mindedness as well,
just
for sure.
Just on the wrong side of the border.
Well, we'll talk about that later. So I guess it's a matter, you know, you see those stories growing up as well, and you see First Nations people, not always represented accurately. A lot of it's negative, and you sort of, for me personally, I guess you want to contribute and kind of change that narrative, like you were saying, Rungi. And I guess we really try to focus on that solutions-driven journalism as well. So we're not all about, you know, this hopelessness that just reading these negative stories that just makes everyone in the community feel worse. In trying to come up with, people always, for everything that's going on, there's always someone that's got a solution, you know, there's something good happening, and we're so keen, and I'm so keen to tell those positive stories. People need to hear them.
You can't shy away from telling the hard stories, but I love this solution-focused journalism because we are the experts and we ask our own people and they usually provide us with the answers.
And with context as well, like knowing the history behind what's happening. I think a lot of the time that's kind of glazed over in a lot of mainstream media reports, but we sort of take the time to paint that whole picture as well.
What's a story that you're really proud of this year, Rungi?
The story.
I know your big note before about you can go. I was swimming with whale sharks, so you know.
Well, that was my favourite story, because the story I did for our environmental episode of The Point, I got to go speak to some rangers up in Coral Bay, and I'm not really a water fan, so to be in the water and be swimming with, you know, these big whale sharks was amazing. But I think a story a lot of people since I've done it have given me a bit of a pat on the back was the Swan River drownings, which was really hard. It was one of the biggest stories in WA. It was also one of the saddest stories with the two teenagers who lost their lives during a police pursuit. A lot of people pat me on the back for that because I called it what it was, which it was a death in custody by the death in custody standard, but the WA police were calling it a death in police presence. And a lot of people at the memorial, less than a week after that had happened, were really, you know, they were really applauding me for calling it what it was, because the rest of WA mainstream media was calling it a death in police presence. And by our definitions and by the definitions of the Royal Commission and the First Nations Death in Custody Watch Committee, that was a death in custody, not a death in police presence. So that was, it was a hard one, but it was something that, you know, I was happy I called it out because no one else was calling it what it was.
And that's the difference between, you know, us and them, you know. That's black journalism, so it's credit to you, Rungi. Remember that story when you broke it in your heart. It was when you're covering a story like so traumatic and tragic as that, you know, it's sort of, it's hard as a black fella. And what about for UAB Original?
Yeah, well, it's interesting listening to that. I think when that really tragic stuff happens, it's when it is so important that we are there to report this in a culturally accurate and sensitive way. And because, I mean, I've just got back from Cairns where we had the Kariba Omasker tombstone opening. Obviously a really heavy story, absolutely tragic. This was, I suppose it's, you know, 4 years afterwards, and this tombstone opening is more of a healing sort of ceremony. I think it was just really clear to me, we had a solid team, and we were the only media organisation that was had access to that, because we were kind of the go-between, I suppose, for the media outlets and the families to try to protect them a little bit. And that kind of made it clear to me, just it showed how important important we are to be here.
Yep.
And I felt, kind of proud of the work we did. And I think working, I hope, well with the families to make sure that they were comfortable with everything that was getting out. And also, while it's still informing the public about what was going on. But yeah, I think this year was my first trip up to the Torres Strait as well, which was amazing. Yeah. Did a couple of stories, but particularly
Australia's best kept secret, I reckon, the Torres Strait Islands.
Yeah, amazing. I've been wanting
to
get up
there.
Keep
it that way, please.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. did one story in particular on island adoption, which is something I didn't know a whole lot about, and I think most Australians wouldn't know much about. Mm. And that was kind of a lot of mothers and people who have been a product of island adoption speaking out about it, and that's very rare for people to feel comfortable to do that. And that's a process it's about to be legalised in Queensland. So I think it's important to get that out, and that's something that I was kind of proud to be able to do as well.
Yeah. If you could tell one story in 2019, what would it be? My last question.
Well, I really want to go out to remote communities. It's going to be, I think it's 5 years next year since the Barnett government made those comments about closing all the remote communities in WA. We've just had the WA government sign a one-year deal with the federal government for remote communities. So I think I want to go out there and kind of explain why in 2019 people are still deciding to live in a remote community and just showcase what is happening in WA 5 years on from the government threatening to close down all those communities and how many are still open, because I think some of them have slowly been getting closed.
Yeah, we did a story on a couple. I was actually sent up there when they did it. Mm. So they sent Craig Quarterman, your predecessor, down south, and I went up north around the Kimberleys. And yes, some of the best times of my life up there telling those stories, meeting those old people.
Well, I've also been from the Pilbara. My grandmother was a part of the Pilbara strike, and a lot of the remote communities in the Pilbara were established because of the Pilbara strike. So going back there where I've got a lot of family as well is definitely something I'm really keen to showcase to the nation.
Mm. UAB?
There's one story in particular I've been keen to get up for ages. It's a bit under wraps, but it's basically...
Don't give it away.
It's a little...
Brothers and sisters over there, the ABC start sneaking and peeking at us.
Exactly. But look, it's around institutionalised racism, particularly in the health system.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's... And I guess also barriers, I guess, for people... Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are wanting to move into health professionals. So especially in those really specialised areas, we know that we've got hardly any, when it comes to surgeons, those real specialty areas where we really need, our people leading the movement in health. And there's some barriers, I think, stopping it. And I kind of want to expose that.
Well, I reckon you will. You're both amazing young journalists. You know how much I love and respect your work. And particularly, how hard it is to be a solo correspondent far, far away from Sydney. And it sounds like another galaxy sometimes, doesn't it? But, without the work that you and the other sisters do, we wouldn't have the point where it is. We wouldn't have the quality and integrity of stories that we have from ladies like yourself. So thanks so much for your work in 2018 and repping for your mob, because that's what we're all about. We're changing... I was about to swear, but we're changing stuff. We're changing the game, hey? We're changing it one story at a time. So thanks both. Thanks. Have a great Christmas and have a great break.
You too,
Danny. Because you both bloody deserve it, that's for sure.
Thanks.
I'm going to play a song for you. So I can't play it now, but at the end of the show, I'm going to play Last Connections' Proper Mad Deadly, because you're both proper mad deadly.
Okay.
But for now, we're going to take a break.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.